Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Jensen Franklin and would like to enjoy more resources, devotionals, including our weekly updates, we hope you'll visit our website at jensenfranklin.org.
If you have your Bible, I'd like for you to open it with me to the book of Mark, chapter 15. Mark, chapter 15. And I'm talking today on how to host the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, but I want to learn how to be a great host, to welcome. You see, people who host visitors and guests and people who are there for one purpose, to welcome, to make feel at home. And that is the job of every believer, to learn how to host the Holy Ghost. This word that Jesus said when he was on the cross, it was left in its original Aramaic language because the translators could not find exactly the right translation. They did not know how to put it into words. It's found two other times in the New Testament where you will see the original word used from the original language, because it's hard to put into words all of the emotions that would be contained in that phrase. So they left the original words, and then they said, translated, the best that we can do, it means, my God, why have you forsaken me? What happened on the cross that day, the conversation between God the Father and God the Son, was beyond our comprehension. The abandonment of Jesus the Son by the Father and by the Holy Spirit. In that moment, the Holy Spirit lifted and left the God-man Jesus Christ hanging on the cross alone by himself for the first time in his life. And God Almighty turned his eyes away, because he who knew no sin in that ugly moment became every sin of every person who would ever commit a sin. He became that on the cross. And the Father looked away and the Spirit withdrew his presence. And Jesus cried, my God, the best the interpreters could translate it. They didn't know how to put into words really what he was saying. They heard such an agony as the presence left him. It devastated the God-man Jesus as he said, why have you forsaken me? What was it that killed Jesus? Was it the lack of blood, the loss of blood, the blood that he shed when they beat his back, the blood that poured from his hands and his feet through the rusty nails? Was it the spear in his side that caused him to bleed out? Did he die from lack of blood? I don't think so. Did he die because of the pressure, the weight of the cross? We know that he collapsed. We know that on the way to Calvary, bearing his own cross, the weight of it became so great that he collapsed under it, and a man had to help carry his cross to Calvary. But that was not what killed him. Pilate, was it Pilate that killed him? Someone may say, was it the Jews? Was it the Sanhedrin court? Was it the Roman soldiers? What killed Jesus? And I submit to you, none of those things killed him. He could not die until two things happened. Number one, he had to quit speaking, because there was so much power in the words of Jesus. He said, my words are spirit and they are life. And as long as he was speaking, death was held at bay. As long as his words, the same mouth that spoke the world into existence, as long as it was speaking, there was no way that death could overcome his words. And the only way he could die was to quit speaking. As long as he was in conversation with the thieves, death couldn't touch him. As long as he was in conversations with God the Father, death couldn't touch him. Because his words were the words of God himself. And then the second thing that caused him not to die, he couldn't die as long as the presence was upon him. As long as the presence was upon him of the eternal Spirit, the Holy Spirit, He could not die. But when it lifted, the Bible said he gave up the ghost. He released it. And when he did, he cried, "My God, my God." It was not the bleeding. It was not the soldiers. But when the presence lifted and the words of his mouth ceased, he died. There's a clue that we need to pick up from this today. That as long as we are confessing the word of God and we are active in the word of God, and as long as we take the time to entertain the presence of God and get in the presence of God and have the Holy Spirit near us, we cannot die spiritually. This church will never die if we will continually activate the word and be and preach the word and live the word, and if we will entertain and host the Holy Ghost. Those two things keep you spiritually alive. We'll all die physically, but we don't ever have to die spiritually. Because if we learn to appreciate the presence and not lose the presence, it's when the presence lifts and the word is no longer active in our life that we die spiritually. There will always be life in our church if the word is preached and the presence of God is here. This church cannot die, and you in your own life spiritually cannot die. Don't ever lose the presence of God. Jesus died naked on that cross. We paint him with a little cloth around the loins, but he was naked on the cross. Why? Because he was the second Adam. And the first Adam in the garden was naked and unashamed. And many of the scholars believe it was because the glory of God, the presence of God, clothed him. But when he sinned and when God came back in that garden, he hid from his presence, the Bible said. Why? Because when you get in the presence of God, not only will the presence of God keep you alive, as I preached the first point I just made, but the second thing the presence of God does when you host the Holy Ghost is he will expose sin in your life. And the reason that he noticed he didn't have any clothes on, he never noticed it before. He was clothed in the glory of God. But when he got in the presence of God this time after he sinned and failed and disobeyed, it exposed his sin, and the Bible said he was naked and ashamed. There's something about the presence of God that if we keep it in our life and in our church, that it exposes the sin in our life. And that's why it's so important to do more than go to church and leave just like you came. We need more than little talks. We need more than little songs. We need more. We need to get in God's presence so he can bring up those things that only begin to surface. You get in a good Holy Ghost service where the Spirit is moving, where the presence of God just, boom, it just comes in there. And suddenly, not in a condemning way, not in a way that puts you down and causes you to feel like a nothing and a nobody, but that gentle, still, small voice will begin to expose things in your life. The things that are not pleasing, the things that you've been doing, the things that you've been thinking, the things that you've said or done. The Holy Spirit, when you get in his presence, it's amazing how he would gently bring them up and say, "You need to repent of this, and you need to turn away from this, and you need to get this right." And I thank God for the presence of God that exposes sin in our life. I don't just want the Holy Spirit to bless me. I don't want the word to just bless me. Every now and then, I want it to blister me. I want it to drive me to my knees in brokenness and awaken me to the fact that I am sinful without the grace of God and without repentance and without a need. I will sear my own conscience with a hot iron. But you get in his presence and suddenly those things that you've written off, they start coming up, and the Holy Spirit will convict you and expose sin in your life. We need that kind of preaching. We need those kinds of services. We need those kinds of churches. I believe the reason there's so much sin in America is because there's so much sin in the church, and it's because we don't have enough of the presence of God to bring old-fashioned conviction that exposes sin in people's lives. Because when you get your sin washed away, you can shout, you can be happy, you can be joyful, you have authority and power in Jesus' name. I need somebody to host the Holy Ghost and say, come on and stir me up, Holy Spirit. Don't just bless me, blister me every once in a while. Reprove and convict me of sin. We're so concerned about the presence of his power. I want miracles. I want power. I want healing. I want God to move. We need to be concerned not just with the presence of his power, but what about the power of his presence? Jacob got in the throne zone, saw the angels ascending and descending. He got in the presence of God. In the next chapter, he made God this promise. He said, God, if you'll bless me, I'll give you a tenth of everything I make. God, when he was in God's presence, God never one time brought up money. But what is amazing is when you get in God's presence, the Holy Spirit will bring things up that you hadn't even thought about. Where did he get that idea from? He got in the presence of God, and when he started tithing, it wasn't out of law and obligation. It was out of love and out of something that happened in the secret place in the presence of God, and he began to tithe, and God blessed him mightily. And the Bible said, quote, he was very rich. When you get in the presence, it'll stir up the good and the bad. There are things in your life that you haven't even thought about that you'll only find when you get in the presence. When you get in the presence of the Lord, a lot of things come out. He begins to stir, and he'll bless you, and sometimes he'll blister you. When's the last time you really felt conviction? When's the last time you grieved over sin in your life? You haven't been in his presence. When you enter into his presence with praise, he enters into your circumstances with power. And the more you enter into his presence with praise, the more he will enter into your circumstances with his power. You have to host the Holy Ghost. Man may be maxed out in his thinking, but God is never maxed out in his power. Faith places no limitations on God, but God places no limitations on faith. You've got to learn how to host the Holy Ghost. How do we host the Holy Ghost in the story of Noah and the ark? The dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said he opened the window and he released the dove. And the dove went out. Again, a type of the Holy Spirit. But what is amazing is when he released it, the dove flew out and he couldn't find anywhere for the soles of his feet to rest. And he said to himself, that little dove, which represents the Holy Spirit, that Noah really knows how to host the Holy Ghost. I'm going back to him. I'm going back to his window. I'm going back to his family. I'm going back because that man really knows how to host me. And the Bible said when the dove came back that Noah stretched forth his hands and pulled the dove unto himself. You see, he learned how to host the Holy Ghost. And the scripture speaks of Jesus, and it said when the dove descended upon him when he was baptized in the water, and it remained on him, one of the chapters talking about that, said it remained on him. How do we get that dove to remain? How do we host? How do we make feel welcome the Holy Spirit in our everyday life? Not just a visitation at church, but a habitation of our life daily. How do we become like Noah? I don't know about you, but something in me wants to host the Holy Ghost. Doves are very observant. They just a little disturbance makes them fly away. They're very flighty. You have to be very careful when you approach a dove because they can be chased away easily. There was no place for his feet to rest, so he came back to the man who hosted him so well. What a picture for you and I. And when he came back, he had an olive branch in his mouth. And the olive branch represents the anointing. Notice that when the Holy Ghost comes wherever he's being hosted well, he brings the anointing with him. He brings with him in his mouth. It's in his mouth. The olive branch was in his mouth. And it was evidence of a new world that was coming. It was the down payment on what else was out there. And when the Holy Ghost comes to your life, if you ever learn to host his presence with worship and with clean living and with glorifying God and with living right and just honoring him and being aware of his presence, he will bring evidence of a new world to come. In other words, that olive branch represented the new creation. The old world had been washed away, and now there was a new creation, and the dove will bring to your house a language called the Holy Spirit language. And it's a down payment on the world to come. It's a down payment, and it's a proof that there is a new creation that has happened in your life. The old things have passed away. The oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. Notice that he came speaking another language. That dove, that olive oil branch in his on his mouth represents the fact that he could speak another language. In other words, he was saying, there's peace out there, Noah. That branch was saying, there's peace out there. The storm is over. And when we learn to host the Holy Ghost, no matter what kind of storms we're going through, he can bring peace to us right in the midst of the storm. It's his job. And I want to host the Holy Ghost. I want to talk the language of the dove. I want to pray in that sweet prayer language. And many of you, hundreds of you perhaps, have never been filled and baptized in the Holy Ghost and ever spoke as the Spirit gives you the utterance. But when the dove of the Spirit fully comes, the Spirit touched you and you've been saved and the Spirit lives there. But when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, he will bring an anointing upon your mouth and your lips, and it will be a rest, and it will be a refreshing, and it will be a peace, and it's a worship language, and it's a prayer language, and it empowers you to host the Holy Ghost. When we know not what we should pray as we ought, Romans 8 said, the Spirit himself makes intercession through us. When we host the Holy Ghost. This stuff of acting like just going to church on Sunday is enough. It's not enough. It won't be transferred to your children and your children's children unless you have the presence of God. We've got to have more than a head knowledge. We've got to have more than talks on Sunday. We need the presence of God in our churches and in our services. That's why the story of the woman with the issue of blood, and I've heard many preachers say before, you know, and I know what they meant, but technically they were not right. They said that that woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus and she was healed. That is not correct. The Bible said that she touched the hem of his garment. And when she touched the hem of his garment, she was made whole. She didn't touch him, she touched something that had touched him. If you're here today and you touch him and you get in his presence, you do more than have a church service, but you actually encounter his presence, and then you go back to work and you go back to school and you go back to your home, or you go back to people who don't know the Lord, even in your own family. And even though they may not ever want to touch Jesus, if you have touched him, you touch him for them. When you learn to host the Holy Ghost, because I've been with him, if they touch me, they touch him. If they talk to me, because I have his word in me, and because I've been with him, he can bring out and say, tell them this. But the problem is, how long has it been since you personally have touched him? Well, I came to church, but have you encountered the presence? Has he moved you? Have you? The Bible said of the disciples in the book of Acts, they took note of them that they were unlearned men, that they had been with the Lord. They said, we can't explain this. These guys are brilliant, and it's not because they've been to university. They have been with the Lord, and there's something irresistible about them. In other words, they got close to him and they touched them. Your job as a Christian, once you're saved, is not to have some distant, cold, callous, used to be, has been relationship with Jesus, but it is to be in his presence, full of his word, so that when the lost and dying community all around us is dying, we have such a heart for them that we touch him. And the only Jesus they will ever know and ever see is the Jesus in me. The Jesus in you. Turn to somebody and say, touch him for them. Church is not about you all the time. And what this service is supposed to be about is not another bless you again. See, Paul put it like this. Paul said, I charge you. Everybody say charge. I charge you before the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say, I shock you. There's a difference between a shock and a charge. When I was a little boy, every once in a while when we were really bored, we would undo a light bulb and we'd get an old clothes rack and we'd see, who's a man? I don't recommend that and don't do it. I'm afraid that's what we do. We come to church and we come for the shock. They sing your song. Oh, I got it. Praise God, that felt good. Franklin Jensen played the saxophone. Oh, I got what I wanted. He played my old hymn. Get a little shock. You know what the problem with a shock is? It's temporary. But a charge, if you get in his presence and you really soak in his presence, you get charged. Then when you walk out of here, it's not just about an electrical feeling at Free Chapel during the sermon or during the music. But I have my batteries full because I've learned how to host the Holy Ghost. I close with this, but I love Moses' attitude in Exodus 33. God said to him, my angels will go before you. It's time to go. Go forward. Move forward. My angels will go before you. And then he said, my promises are in you. It's going to happen. Go. But God said, but I'm not going because I'm so upset at those people dancing around that golden calf. You go. My angel's going before you. My promise is in you. Go ahead, Moses. And Moses put on the brakes and stopped 2.5 million people and said back to God in Exodus 33, if your presence does not go with us, we will not go. In other words, angels are wonderful. Promises are wonderful. Teaching of the word is wonderful. Head knowledge is awesome. Get all of it you can. But there is nothing that can take the place of the presence of the Holy Spirit. The letter killeth. You can sit and hear somebody teach you the word until you're blue in the face and the letter kills, but it's the presence, it's the spirit that makes it come alive. And we've got churches that teach the word, but our nation is going to hell because somebody's got to get in the presence with him for them. And I can't find shortcuts. It still takes fasting. It still takes prayer. It still takes inconvenience on the flesh. It still takes hours alone with God. Hearing his voice. Welcoming and learning how to host the Holy Ghost because he has the answer. And as you worship in that heavenly language, that anointing that comes on your mouth and your tongue and with stammering lips and an unknown tongue, will I speak to my people, and this shall be a rest and a refreshing. As you host the Holy Ghost in worship, as you host the Holy Ghost in reading the word and studying his letters, As you worship and host the Holy Ghost, he brings life. He brings the exposure of sin and inconsistencies in your own life. David ate the showbread, and the showbread was called the bread of his presence. And he went out the next day and won an incredible battle, because when you're in his presence brings strength for the battle. Some of you are in a battle and you just keep fighting in the flesh and fighting in the flesh, fighting, and you don't understand that victory is when you get in his presence. He'll help you. Be still and know that I am God. I can handle cancer. I can handle disease. I can handle financial difficulty. Come into my presence. Because if you get the power of my presence, you get the presence of my power.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Kingdom Connection. We hope this has been a blessing in your life, and we'll share this and other great resources with your friends. Visit JensenFranklin.org for new teachings and free podcasts, videos, and blogs. And be sure to connect with us via Twitter @Jensen or Facebook @JensenFranklin. Thanks for listening to the Kingdom Connection Podcast, and have a great week.